Tonight I want to talk about the four stages of thanksgiving. And these are progressive. You go from one to two, then from stage two to stage three, and then from stage three to stage four. And what I want you to do tonight is figure out where you are in this progression. And I want to encourage you that if you're not at stage four, to go ahead and move up one. Go ahead and move up two. You know, when we used to let you pick songs sometimes on Wednesday night and Sunday night? One of the songs that Helen always picked was Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And we need to have that attitude about everything that exists in our Christian life. I mean, Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 3, he said, I don't count myself to have apprehended yet. He said, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not everything that God wants me to be yet. And he says, I still press toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And by the way, the book of Philippians was written at the end of Paul's life. It was written when he was getting ready to go to heaven. And here's a man of God, a man greatly used of God, that says, I'm not there yet. There's still things I need to do. And if the apostle Paul could say that, every single one of us could say that same thing. There's higher ground that we need to get to. We need to do that in our prayer life. We need to get to that next stage in our prayer life where we believe that God is a hearer and answerer of prayers, and we go boldly before the throne of grace, and we make our petitions known to God with an air of expectancy that he's going to hear and he's going to answer. And so we need to move up in our prayer life. We need to do it in our witnessing, as Brother Gene reminded us tonight. I mean, the fields are white unto harvest. There are people that are out there that will open their door and readily listen to the gospel. Now, you'll run into people like Terry and Becky did yesterday that, you know, when they told them who they were, the guy said, nope, not interested, and slammed the door. But that was only one out of probably 50 doors that altogether we knocked on yesterday. You'll run into people like that, but there's many, many more people that are just anxious and waiting, and God has them, the Holy Spirit has them all ready, and they're just waiting for somebody to knock on the door and tell them about Jesus and give them a gospel tract. And so we need to do that in our witnessing. We need to move up to that next level. We need to do it in our praising. And our praising of God. I touched on that this morning a little bit. We're way too reserved in our praising for God. Look, he saved us from hell. We were a sinner headed for hell. And I'll talk about this a little bit more when I get down to point two. But if you don't have anything else to praise God about tonight, you're a Christian. You can praise him because you're saved and on your way to heaven. Amen? Amen? Wave that red hanky, Brother Darrell. Amen. You can pray, or you can praise him because you're saved and on your way to heaven. So we need to do that in our praising. We need to do that in our thanksgiving. We need to do that in our thanks to God. And so I want to give you the four stages tonight. Real simple message. But I want you to identify where you are and resolve to move up to the next level. Now, I'll tell you before I go, I mentioned the first one. I don't think anybody here tonight is at stage one. I don't think so. But if you are, I want you to get out of this one immediately. I want you, before you leave tonight, make a vow to God, I don't want to stay here anymore. Stage one is not giving thanks. It's not taking the time, it's not exerting the effort to see God as God, to notice what God does, to notice not only what he does, but what he keeps us from, to notice how God has worked, and not saying thank you to him, not expressing our gratitude, not expressing our appreciation for all the things that God does for us. I want to just tell you tonight, it's rude. It is just not, it's rude to be ungrateful. It's impolite. It's uncivilized. It's mean. And you can go on and you can add words to my list. You can think of words just like I can. But every single person needs to be thankful to God. In the Bible, God has some pretty harsh things to say about unthankful people. In Romans 1, verse 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Like I was talking about this morning, the basis for our thanksgiving is to recognize that God is God, that he is our creator, he is our sustainer, and he is the giver of every good thing. Every good thing comes from him. And again, you go back and you read Romans 1. Most of you know when I say this what I'm talking about. You go back and you read Romans chapter 1 and you listen to how the progression of people that are unthankful to God. And you go back and you read about the group of people that God talks about in that chapter, and nobody here wants to be in that company. Nobody here wants to be in that group of people that God describes in Romans chapter 1. And he says, it's because neither were they thankful. In 2 Timothy, you don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to turn to it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to read the first five verses from chapter 3. Here's what the Bible says. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. I mean, one of the signs that we're living in the last times is because we live in an ungrateful world. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I mean, if you want to know we're living in the last days, just look at how Timothy here, or Paul describes it for his son in the gospel, how Paul describes the characteristics of people, and you quickly come to the conclusion, we are living in the last days. As Gene said a moment ago, Jesus is coming soon. It won't be long. We live in an unthankful world. So, the first stage of thanksgiving is not giving thanks. Now again, I don't think anybody here is in that stage. And by chance, if you are, get out of it. Get out of it tonight. Just resolve tonight, vow tonight, I am going to learn to be thankful. I'm going to learn to be thankful to people that God has put in my life. I'm going to learn to be thankful for God. Second stage is thanking God for good things. Now, again, I use the term good knowing that it is a relative term. We describe things as good using our very limited earthly judgment. And we put things into categories. Well, this is good and this is bad. And the second stage of thanksgiving is getting to that point in our life where we thank God for those things in our life that we deem that are good. For those things that we put in that category, these are good things. We read from Psalm 103. We read, as the psalmist says, to be thankful for God for all his benefits, and then he listed some of those benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. I could stop right here and spend the rest of the night. I'm glad that God has forgiven me of all my sins. I'm glad that he just didn't forgive me of the big ones, but he also forgave me of the little ones. I'm glad that he didn't say, well, I'll forgive you for this, 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 this. No, he says, I'll forgive you for every single one of them. And I praise God tonight. And by the way, this is a good thing. This is a good thing for every single person here tonight. God is willing to forgive you of every one of your sins, just like he's willing to forgive me of every one of my sins. Now, we that know Jesus as our Savior know that all our sins are under the blood. The ones that we've committed up to this point and all the ones that we're going to commit in the future. Say, preacher, you mean God's already forgiven me of those sins that I'm going to commit tomorrow and the next day? And the next day? Yes, because they're all under the blood. And when the blood was shed, all of our sins was in the future. We hadn't committed one of them when Jesus died on the cross. But when he died on the cross, he paid for every one of our sins, all our iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. You say, preacher, does that mean that God will heal everybody that has cancer? That means that God will heal everybody that has an incurable disease? Yes. You say, how can you say that? Because sometimes healing is taking that body to heaven and getting a new body that's free of disease, that's free of pain, that's free of all the things that we cannot fix down here. Sometimes God works in a miraculous way, and he heals people that are on this earth. A story that we told, that we read this morning, was a true story. It wasn't a made-up story. It was a story of a leper who had no hope in his disease, and Jesus healed him. I believe that Jesus still does that today. He can heal, and he will heal all diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. You know, when he saved us, when we were lost, we were headed for destruction. We were headed for hell. We were headed not only for an eternal destruction, but our life as a sinner, we were headed for destruction on this earth. And when we got saved, he redeemed us from all that. And as I mentioned a minute ago, if you cannot find anything else good in your life, I mean, if you can't point to your family and say, I am thankful for my family. God has blessed me with a wonderful family, with wonderful parents, with wonderful brothers and sisters, with wonderful children, with wonderful grandchildren. And by the way, most of you here tonight can join me in saying, God has given me a wonderful family. And that's a good thing that he has put in my life. But if you can't do that tonight, if you can't thank God for the good thing that he's done to let you live in this country, as Brother Gary prayed a moment ago, there are people all over the world tonight that want to do what we're doing, but they can't. Because if they do, they'll be arrested, they'll be harassed, they'll be persecuted, they'll be thrown into jail. Did any of you think before you came tonight, well, I better be careful because of what might happen when I go to church? I dare say none of us thought about that. We did not think that we could get into trouble. We did not think that we would be arrested for coming to this place tonight. We came freely. We came with the blessings of freedom that God has given us in this country. And that's a good thing that God has given us that live here. But if you can't thank God for your family, if you can't thank God for your freedom, I'll tell you tonight, if you're saved, you can thank God for your salvation. You can thank God that he's redeemed you from destruction. You can thank God that you have a home in heaven. And by the way, if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, he will save you tonight. The Bible says we're all sinners. The Bible says there's a penalty for sin. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ paid our penalty on Calvary. He paid the price for our sins. And he offers to every single person the gift of eternal life. And just like any other gift, all you got to do is take it to make it yours. If you're here tonight and you've never taken that gift, today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. I wouldn't live another minute. I can't remember who I was talking to. Somebody in our church. I was talking to them this week, and they made the statement two or three times. They said, I don't know how a person that doesn't know Christ can make it through this life. I just don't know how they can make it through the trials that come into every person's life without a relationship with God. And I don't know either. I don't know either. So the second stage of thanksgiving is thanking God for the good things, for all the benefits that come into our life. So again, if by chance there's one person here that's in that first phase of not giving thanks, I encourage you tonight, move to the second phase. Move to the second phase. Thank God for the good things that He has given you. Now, the third stage is thanking God in the midst of bad things. Now, again, I use the term bad tonight knowing that it's a relative term. And when I use the word bad, I'm talking about things that happen that we judge undesirable. Things that if we had a vote as to whether they were going to come into our life or not, we would vote against them. We would say, no, I don't want this into my life. I don't want this to come into my life. Things that are in our life that we would change if we could. Circumstances that cause pain. Circumstances that cause heartache. Circumstances that cause distress. And I dare say that every single person here tonight has something in their life that if you could change, you would. I would. I mean, all of us have things. If we got a vote, we would say, I don't want this to come in. I don't want this. Lord, it's like the Apostle Paul prayed that God would take that thorn in the flesh that he had. He said, just take it away. And many of us, all of us, have something in our life that we would say, Lord, if you would just take this away, I could be a better Christian. I could be a better servant. I could serve you better. Situations that make us hurt, or situations that make somebody we love hurt. And I know most of you are like me tonight. If we could make a choice between hurting ourselves or taking away, or not hurting ourselves or taking away a hurt from somebody we love, we would take away that hurt from somebody we love. We would. I know your hearts. You're my people. The more I get to know you, and some of you I've known a long, long time, and you can't hide this from me. I know that you would choose to take that hurt yourself as opposed to let somebody you love hurt. Your spouse, your children, your grandchildren. I don't know of a grandpa or grandma here that if they could choose, if their grandchild had a hurt, I don't know of a grandpa or grandma here that wouldn't say, I'll take that hurt. God, if you would let me take it, I'll take it. Let me suffer that. Don't put it on my grandkid. Some of us would even say that about our kids. No, all of us would say it about our kids. We would say, Father, if I could choose, don't let my children hurt. Give me that hurt. Let me carry it. Let me bear it. So that's the kind of things I'm talking about. The things that cause hurt. The things that make us cry. And the third stage of thanksgiving says, in the midst of those undesirable, unwanted circumstances, thank God. Thank God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, let me tell you how most of us give thanks in this third stage. It's like the preacher who woke up one Sunday morning, and it was cold, and it was raining, and it was sleeting, and there was snow and ice mixed in with the rain. And he got up and he made it to church after slipping and sliding all over the road. And only half the congregation showed up. Half of what they normally have, only half of them showed up. And the half that showed up were all upset with the preacher about something. I mean, this thing, that thing, this thing, this thing. And so he gets up to pray. And he wants to be a good example of how to give thanks in bad situations. So he gets up and he prays and he says, "Father, I thank you that it's not like this all the time." That's not how God wants us to be thankful. That's not how he wants us to be thankful. He wants us to move to that fourth phase where we actually thank God for all things good and bad. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The basis for this stage of thanksgiving is realizing that God is God. That God knows what He's doing. That God reigns in our life. And that nothing is allowed by God to come into our life without a purpose. And that purpose is good. I mean, go back, and again, I know most of you know the story, but go back and read the story of Job again. Go back, just read the first chapter of Job. If we could go back and we could interview Job and we could say, "Hey, Job, was it good that the Sabians came and stole the oxen and the asses and killed the servants that was watching them?" Job in chapter 1 would say, "No, wasn't good." "Was it good that fire came down from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants that were watching them?" In Job chapter 1, Job would say, "No, that wasn't good." "Job, was it good that the Chaldeans came and stole the camels and killed the servants that were watching the camels?" And in chapter 1, Job would say, "No, it's not good." "Job, was it good that the wind came and blew down the oldest son's house and killed all 10 of your children?" And by the way, I'll just remind you, this is a true story. It's not a made-up story. It's not a parable. It's not a fairy tale. It's a story of a real man who lost everything he had, and he lost his children. And if we could go back and we could ask him in chapter 1, "Job, did you think that was good?" He would say, "No. If I had a vote, I wouldn't let these things come into my life." But then skip ahead to Job chapter 42 and listen to Job as he says, "God, you're God. You're God. I don't understand how you work. I can't explain how you work. But God, what you do is good. I didn't know it when I was going through it because I couldn't see the end. But he says, I'm at the end now and I see what you've accomplished. And so God, I thank you for everything that you've done. I thank you for being God. I thank you for doing what you do." I had a grandma that I think could make some of the best cornbread in the whole world. And I remember when I was about 10 years old, I was over at her house on a Saturday night when she was making cornbread for my grandpa. A lot of times, all they would eat, because Grandpa liked it, was cornbread and beans. And I got to the point where I like cornbread and beans, too. So I was in the kitchen with her, and she was making cornbread. And she'd get out the flour and the cornmeal and the baking soda and the salt and the eggs and the buttermilk. And I'll be honest with you. I don't like any of those things by themselves. I know that some people like to drink raw eggs. I've never been a fan of that. I know that some people, my dad included, like buttermilk. I've never been a fan of drinking buttermilk by itself. And so if you would ask me to sample any of those ingredients that went into Grandma's cornbread, I would tell you, they're all terrible. Just rotten. Things that you would not want to eat or digest by themselves. But when she mixed it all together, and when she put it in the oven, and when she cooked it, and when it came out, and you put some butter on it, and ate it with beans, ain't nothing better. Ain't nothing better. Being in the fourth stage of Thanksgiving, that means that when God says, hey, here's a cup of buttermilk, and I want you to drink it, or here's some raw eggs, and I want you to eat it, or here's some baking soda, and I want you to swallow it, means, being in that fourth stage of Thanksgiving, means that you know God has a plan, and he's going to mix it all together, and it's going to come out good when it all gets done. We may not be able to see it while we're going through it. We may not be able to understand it while we're going through it, but what God says, I want you to trust me enough that I know what I'm doing. And when I get through mixing it all together, it's going to be good. So thank me and praise me and know that I'm God and I have a plan. I know what I'm doing. And when you get to the other side, when you get to the end, you can say like Job, God, I didn't understand it when I was going through it, but I do now. And you're such a good God. You're such a good God. I praise you. And I thank you for being the kind of God that you are. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being that kind of God. Thank you for being a God that loves us, that saved us, that just piles on every good and every perfect gift, and we know it comes from you. And Father, included in those perfect gifts are sometimes things that we don't think are so good. Sometimes they include things that we just as soon avoid. But Father, you didn't listen to Paul when he asked you to remove that thorn from his flesh. And I thank you and praise you that you don't listen to us when we ask you to take things away that you know that we need, because they drive us closer to you. I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they would see they're a sinner, they would see the penalty for that sin, and they would see Jesus Christ, the Savior of their souls, the one who paid for every sin that they've committed. And tonight, they would come and they'd ask Jesus to be their Savior. Most, if not all of us tonight, are Christians. Father, I pray you'd make us a grateful people, a people that not only thank you for the good things, but thank you for all things, all things. I just pray, Father, you'd bless this time of invitation. Help us to use it, not take it for granted, but to use it. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.